Hey guys, this is Abigail from the future. I was just going to let you know that we are going to change our upload schedule a little bit for the summer. We will be posting guaranteed every 2 weeks, one episode, and we will try to do an episode in between that whenever we can, but just because our lives are insanity right now, we may not always be able to do that, so just be patient with us, and we'll try to get as much content out to you as possible. I hope you guys like this episode. Welcome to Penance and Purgatory. I'm Abigail.
And I'm Wesley.
And this is a podcast where you can't tell whether we're in hell or not. Welcome back. It's been a Welcome while. Back.
Yes. Life happened.
Yes.
And also, my internet was having a lot of issues.
Yes. But we're back.
I just casually stopped working for like 10 minutes at a time, a couple times an hour. But we're back.
We're back. For a while.
Yes. Well, it was only like 2 weeks of silence.
Yeah, that's not that long, honestly.
Yeah.
But we're gonna get back on track with the uploading schedule, and there will be a few weeks out of the month where we're probably going to just pre-record episodes, and because Wes will be in fucking other continents, but
if I can get the passport nightmare figured out.
Yes. Anyways, announcements. The day you are listening to this, we are probably at Denver Pride.
If you're listening to it the day it comes out or the day after.
Yes.
Which, it'd be my first Pride.
It will be.
Abby will try to drag me in 2019, I think, but I was still in the closet then.
Yes, and you said, I don't see why I would ever go there.
Because I was in the closet and in denial, Abigail, that's why.
Oh, I was fully aware of why you wouldn't go, but
it's fine.
And then this year, Wes was like, I'm going to go to Pride. And I was like, wait, what?
Yes, and then Abigail's like, I'm taking you.
We're going.
Now we have a group of like six, maybe seven people.
Also, if you guys haven't been vaccinated yet, go get vaccinated. Get the COVID vaccine. Please. Please. It's good for you. There's not a tracker in it.
I heard that apparently there is this rumor going around that getting the COVID vaccine would make you magnetic. And I read that headline. I was like, what?
The only thing I magnetically attract to is walls, because I run into them all the time. But that also occurred before I got vaccinated.
I have a fun story about running into walls, actually.
Okay.
So when I was really young, my family went to like this amusement park thing. And keep in mind, this was like before I was five.
This sounds like a dangerous choice.
But there was this thing there. So basically it was this maze, but all of the walls are plexiglass.
Why?
I don't know, but we were walking around in it, and I think I started to panic or something, and I sprinted head on into one of these. Which is on brand.
Yeah, it is. One of my cousins was running inside for like a dessert or something at my house, and she ran into our screen door and like bounced off of it.
Didn't one of your other cousins run into like a support pillar at the church?
Yeah.
And they had to repaint over the blood.
Yes.
We and our families are not very coordinated individuals.
No, we're all very accident prone somehow.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that my mom was a gymnast and my dad was like a 3-time black belt.
The fuck? You never told me about this.
Yeah, I did.
When?
When we were dating.
That explains that.
Yeah, he used to teach Taekwondo.
I have zero recollection of you ever telling me this.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, so, what is your bizarre random question for the day?
So, what was the most awkward moment that you put your foot in your mouth?
Oi.
I know you've had a lot of these.
Oi. Why? I hate that you never give me prep time for this.
It's okay, we just cut out the silence. Take as long as you need.
I know, but like, there's still pressure to give a response soon.
It's okay, Linda, take your time, as long as it's within 5 minutes.
5 minutes?
You have 5 minutes, Linda. While you're thinking of that, so I picked up this habit from Abigail, specifically, where I just call everyone and everything Linda. I do it far more than she has ever done it. And my roommate has picked that up a little bit and does it on occasion to the dog.
I need to mostly see that.
It's mostly the dog that I call Linda. You need to see what?
Your roommate calling the dog Linda.
Alright, well, I'll see if he'll let me take a video of it. And also, another fun anecdote. So, we have, like, those communal mailboxes. Where, basically, there's, like, just a bunch of them all together and you need a key to get into yours.
Yeah.
And, of course, the one for my house is number 13.
I love that for you.
I fucking hate it.
I love that.
I hate everything about it.
I love that for you.
I hate that for me.
It's so perfect.
Also, there's probably going to be plenty of screaming with Abigail's half the episode.
Yeah.
How many parts are you currently at for MKUltra?
Like series? Seven.
Series-wise, yes.
Like number of episodes?
Yes.
My current outline estimates there will be 8 episodes in total.
We'll see how that goes.
Yeah. I would not be surprised if it turns into 9.
Or 10.
I don't think it'll go that far, but honestly, it wouldn't surprise me.
Have you had your answer yet?
Here's the thing. Like, I'm trying to think of a funny one rather than one that I just felt, like, straight up guilty about.
Well, while you're thinking that, I have a lovely story for that. I accidentally told one of my coworkers, I'm sorry for apologizing. When I was trying to apologize for something.
What?
I don't remember what happened, but I remember I was apologizing for something. And I said, I'm sorry for apologizing. And then I just put my head on the counter and just couldn't stop laughing out of embarrassment. So, when I was editing the last episode, there was this part while recording that I had to go up and go get something from my front door. During that time, Abigail was humming. So, I'm going to go ahead and just insert this right here while she decides.
Oh my god.
I told you I was going to clip it.
Oh god. The world does not deserve this torture.
See, I didn't even hear how it actually sounds because I listened to it at 1.75 speed.
I don't think I was intentionally trying to make it too cringy, so... Who knows?
Okay, your 5 minutes are just about over.
Okay. I think I have one.
Okay.
So, I was in kindergarten.
Ooh, gone way back.
Yes. To pre-extensive trauma.
Okay. Sounds like a good time.
Yeah. Lucky bitch. So, I was sitting in my kindergarten class, and we were sitting on the rug for story time. And there was a kid in front of me who wore hearing aids because he had hearing loss. And he was taller than me because I have always been a very short child. And I still am very short.
You're still a very short child.
I'm a very short adult now. And so what I meant to say was, can you scoot over a little bit? I can't see. For some reason, what my brain said and said was, can you scoot over a bit? I can't hear.
And?
He just looked at me like I was a fucking idiot.
I mean, well, you are, but still.
Rude!
It's okay. We both are. I literally texted you that 5 minutes before recording.
Yes.
Alright, well, I guess it's the part where, Abigail starts singing Let's Get It, because I don't know what song that's from. We sing that every single time before recording.
Yeah.
Don't know why. Abigail started doing that one day, so like, okay, that's a thing.
Okay. Go.
Just go. Fucking rude.
You tried to give me instructions, and so I am unable to do the thing that you asked me to do.
Fucking hoe.
I don't take commands well. You know this.
Abigail!
What are you talking about today, you crazy bitch?
So today I will be talking about evil whales.
Okay.
I wish I could have seen your face.
Didn't you say all of the episodes for this month were going to be pride related?
No, that was just the one.
Okay.
But are you ready?
Yes.
To learn about some evil whales?
Sure.
I can tell you're very confused and you're wondering where this is going to go.
Yes.
Well, this is going to go to Iceland.
That doesn't surprise me.
So, I changed all of the names to the English bastardization of them.
I don't blame you, honestly. They have too many consonants.
Yes, they do. I looked at them, I was like, dear God, I'm not going to be able to say this. So,
I'm sorry, Iceland, we can't.
We can't. Your language is hard for my American brain. But so, today I'm talking about why do I feel like this one is misspelled? I feel like yes, okay, that's because there is a typo in the first time I typed this word.
That would explain why you think it's misspelled. Because it's misspelled.
Okay. Your face is misspelled.
Rude.
So, this is the Ilveli.
Ilveli, okay.
I believe. I'm hoping it's pronounced that way. But that is translated as evil whales.
Okay.
So I'm told. So, the first one we talk about is the horse whale.
The horse whale.
The horse whale.
Uh-huh.
So, the horse whale, it likes to jump on top of ships.
And do what?
I'm assuming just, like, flail around. Well, it is also between 15 and 40 meters long.
So just crush them, basically.
No, that's a different one. But partially. But so it has roughly a horse head shaped head.
A horse head shaped head.
What would you say? A horse shaped head? I guess a head shaped like a horse's.
Anything is better than a horse head shaped head.
Well, it's fine, Abigail. So,
did you write that description on the page?
Yes, because I'm a goddamn idiot.
Oh my god. How did Google Docs not go, what the ever-loving fuck is this?
No, my notes already have an absurd amount of red lines underneath them that I just ignore them.
Oh my god.
Also, I had to add the word. Keep in mind, this is the names of all of these. They're one word. So I had to add all of these to the dictionary on my computer so they stop freaking the fuck out. So now a horse whale is in my computer dictionary. Okay, so it has a mane like a horse's. And apparently it also neighs like a horse and smells quite bad.
I'm gonna really hope that there's some photoshopped image of, like, a cross between a horse and a whale.
No, Abigail, there's pictures of all of these, and I will send them to you one by one after I'm done talking about them.
We need to share that on our social medias.
So, it also has very large eyes. It's also covered with fine fur. And apparently its insides are like those of a horse.
So, like, it's the same size as horse organs, or it's, like, horse organs, like, but whale-sized?
I think a horse organs, but whale-sized.
Because, can you imagine if it had, like, a horse brain, which is about two-thirds of the size of a human brain for a whale? That would be amusing.
So, like all the evil whales, it loves destroying ships, and it likes to charge at them, at the ships, very high speeds, holding its head just above the water, like hippo style. So, and it sinks them by jumping onto them or pressing up against the side of it until it capsizes it.
Okay, then.
So, apparently, these whales are jacked.
Does it explain why the whales really want to, like, ruin ships?
Because they're evil whales.
Okay, but why are they evil? Let's get into the psychology.
The lore.
Of the evil whales. The lore
of evil whales.
What is their motivation? What is their life story?
Okay, so one day there was this horse whale named Brittany.
Oh god.
I will make a whole last story off out of this if you want me to right here, right now.
No.
I've been a DM before. I can improvise like nobody's business.
We're not going to misconstrue another culture's lore and mythology just to make horse whales make sense.
Look, I don't know the backstory of any of these. It's fine.
I would be very surprised if anyone knows the backstory of them at this point. I would imagine that's the kind of thing that would be lost to time if it ever existed in the first place.
So, they are also omens of bad weather, and they can create huge waves by whipping their tails. They whip their tails back and forth. Yes, Abigail, I had to. Don't judge me.
No, you didn't have to.
Oh, I had to.
Ugh. Wes is a pop music whore. Like,
only relatively recently, actually. Up until then, it was just mostly Taylor Swift.
I was about to say, you've been a Swiftie since, like, day one.
Since, like, 1989.
The album, not the year. I was just about to clarify.
No, I was not alive in 1989. I forgot what year I was saying. Oh, and this is not the episode that we're high for.
We're not doing an episode.
Get ready for that one coming up here shortly. At some point.
That we'll literally have to wait till next year to do that.
Why?
Because we would want to do it on 420.
We don't have to wait till 420, Abigail.
We'll talk about it later.
Okay. But yes, so I really like Taylor Swift, Katy Perry, Demi Lovato's in there too. And also very recently Avril Lavigne.
You're a very interesting being. Anyways, back to horses.
So, like several of the other evil whales in this, they have developed several nicknames because using their name will attract them.
Oh, so it's
like
Voldemort.
And they will target you. What was that?
So it's like Voldemort.
Yes.
Okay.
So, speaking of Voldemort, horse whales are also associated with dark magic.
Okay.
Like, no joke, this is actually the next line of my notes. Perfect timing, Abigail.
A plus.
So, they were often the accomplices for sorcerers and witches bent on destruction. And also, their form could be assumed to cause chaos.
Okay. Pretty metal. Okay.
Pretty metal.
Yeah.
And so, my brain has stopped working. In the 13th century, there was a horse whale that surfaced alongside of a ship.
Okay.
So, they basically fired all of the weapons that they had at this thing, and it just went back down, you know, into the water. And then it came back up, and apparently they took a cutlass and threw it into one of its eyes.
How?
Do you say ow or how?
Ow.
Where it was torn apart by other whales.
Gross.
Just some light cannibalism. It's fine.
Yeah, gross.
So that was the horsefish. Not horsefish. Horse whale. Goddamn. I don't know why. My brain just like stops working when we're recording.
It's okay. Mine does too.
But I remember my mistakes, Abigail.
I fucking don't.
Must be nice.
It's you.
See, okay, this is the opposite of how we are normally. I normally can't remember shit.
I know.
And Abigail remembers everything.
Yeah.
And then I get to listen to this again and edit it, so.
It probably does help that you edit it as well.
Yeah. So next up, we have the red comb.
Okay.
So, it's said that it's more evil than the others, which is it's more evil than the other evil whales. It's not one of the regular henchmen whales.
Okay, it's like the head bitch whale.
It is not the head bitch, that's a different one. So it's like first mate bitch.
Or like the enforcer bitch.
Yes, it's the enforcer.
Okay.
So, it is the most savage and bloodthirsty of all of them. So it may not be the biggest or have the most power of the other ones, but it has a lot of determination to harm boats and people. It's just a spiteful bitch.
Okay.
And its flesh is inedible and it's forbidden to eat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's inedible because it's forbidden, or it's forbidden because it's inedible. And also, if you boil the meat, the meat will straight up disappear out of the pot.
Just like a final, haha, fuck you.
Yes. So, and then, it also has red down the back of its neck, which causes it to often get confused with the horse whale. It's either described as a mane like a horse or a row of finlets.
Okay.
But it varies on the depiction.
Okay.
It's bright. It has a coffee-ish colored body and has a pink underbelly.
Okay.
Others say it's just reddish everywhere. Others say it has reddish cheeks or a red head. Sometimes it says there's, like, red streaks coming from the mouth as if it... And it looks like blood.
Makes sense.
Apparently has a very sharp teeth and either has a small dorsal fin or just none. And it's roughly 10 to 20 meters in length. And in the words of my bud, in the words of my brother, it has a streamlined body built for speed. Okay, so yeah, they're very fast swimmers. And it causes massive amounts of foam. And apparently this whale also neighs. And it gets so confused with the horse whale that the two have become semi-interchangeable over time.
Yeah, this kind of just sounds like a horse whale that went really rogue or something.
But these don't have the horse tail or the enormous eyes.
Hmm.
So it just is, its presence is threatening enough that the fishermen will refuse to go out if it's in the area. And this thing likes to fuck with people so much, it will play dead for up to 2 weeks.
That's a long like, con.
Yes, it'll just, like, float on the surface of the water, pretending to be dead, until somebody comes up to approach, and then it goes batshit crazy and likes to drown everyone on board.
Oh my god.
So it regularly has beluga whales or narwhals following behind it, and they like to clean up after it and eat the leftovers.
I don't blame them. It's free meal, basically. They don't have to work for it.
So if a boat escapes it, and it doesn't destroy another one within the same day, it will die of frustration. There's one story where it had destroyed 18 boats over the course of one day. And there was a 19th boat that managed to escape by dressing a piece of wood in clothes and tossing it overboard. And the Redcomb thought it was a human and kept trying to drown it.
What?
And the boat escaped. And it got so frustrated that I couldn't drown this thing that it died.
That's so bizarre.
Well, it overexerts itself.
Yeah, I got that, but like, what the fuck?
So, and there was one boat that was being chased by one of these, and somehow just the crew managed to row away faster than this thing could swim. And then apparently just this thing got so upset that it couldn't catch up to this goddamn boat that it died.
Yeah.
And then apparently the boat earned the nickname of Ocean Runner after that. And this one is also associated with sorcery.
Of course, with evil whales, you gotta have some sorcery.
Always. So, there's a story that says a young man was cursed by elves into becoming a red-headed whale. And then he wreaked havoc until he tried to chase a priest upriver and couldn't, and died of exhaustion. So that is all for the red comb. Now next we have the mouse whale.
The mouse whale.
The mouse whale.
How the fuck does this work?
I need to find these pictures because I need to send them to you. This is the red comb.
Mm-hmm.
This bitch is the mouse whale.
What the fuck is that?
This is an artist rendition.
If you would like to see these pictures, go check out our social medias.
Yes.
What the fuck is that? very talented artist, but what the fuck is that?
Oh, good times. Good times. So I'm just gonna let Abigail revel in the mouse whale for a second. What the fuck is that?
Yeah.
So, mouse whales. This guy's mostly mouth, ear, and tail.
Mm-hmm.
Which Abigail agrees is accurate.
Mm-hmm.
With a gaping, deeply slit mouth large enough to swallow a whole rowboat in a single gulp.
Yeah.
So these are over 10 meters long. And they have large, prominent ears that stick out. And a whip-like tail without a fin that allows it to swim at terrifying speeds.
Great.
So fast that the sea churns behind it. And instead of fins, it has two stumpy hoof legs.
I'm just baffled by this one. Like, it doesn't look like a whale at all.
Oh, hold on, Abigail. There's another one that doesn't. So, it likes to sink ships by ramming them, or it, like, put their feet on, like, the sides and pull it under. So, usually, if you see one, the best course of action is to go to land as fast as possible. And then go to higher ground, because unlike the other ones, it can actually go onto the beach with its tiny little legs.
Of course it can.
I feel like this one's just breaking Abigail.
Like, if I saw that thing crawling up the fucking beach, I'd be like, just fucking kill me. Like, I don't want to live on a world where this bullshit exists. Like, if there is a god, he did not create this.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I think this slightly scares Abigail.
It is cursed.
So, but they usually give up fairly quickly once they're on once they get out of the ocean. Mm-hmm. One mouse whale ran a boat aground and followed the sailors as far as it could. And it just, like, got shot 3 times and act like nothing happened.
Of course it did.
And then it didn't say it caught them, so I'm assuming it didn't, and then it just went back to the ocean.
Great.
Larger boats, usually the mouse whale can't do shit against them. So there were two fishermen on a small boat who they realized that there was a mouse whale nearby, because apparently it makes a shit ton of noise as it swims.
Yeah.
And it was headed right for their boat. So they froze in terror, but apparently there was a fishing schooner. And I guess a schooner is a larger boat. I'm not a boat person. So they steered the boat right into the mouse whale's path, and so it ran the ship. It rammed into the ship so hard that the boat, like, tilted a lot, but then stayed upright and didn't go down. And so this thing basically was throwing a tantrum up against this French boat while the fishermen got aboard, and then eventually it just gave up.
This is such a bizarre creature.
Yes.
I don't know whose brain came up with it, but...
Okay, so next up we have the jumper. For the record, its skin actually looks like that, Abigail.
That looks like it's melting ice cream or something.
We'll get to that. So, for whatever reason... So this thing can somehow jump, like, ungodly distances out of the water. So it is one of the most... feared evil whales, whichever terminology is the best one. So It's not the largest of them, but it is still quite large and very powerful for its size. And so it likes to pile drive ships. It has a rounded body with black on the top and white on the bottom. And in order to see, it has to jump out of the water because it has like flaps covering its eyes. So it looks down. Its thing can't look forward. It can only look down when it's falling through the air because the wind catches little skin flaps.
That's very strange.
I never thought I would use the term skin flaps on this podcast, but here we are.
Yeah, it's very gross.
If you'd like to see, go check out our social media. It's in the description below. So some sources say that it can see underwater and it's blinded when it breaches, but that's, you know, less likely. So they like to leap out of the water so high that mountains can be seen below them.
Mm-hmm.
So it can also cover a distance of 4 waves with every leap, which I guess 4 waves is a very arbitrary answer.
Yeah.
When it's chasing a ship, it can leap out of the water for a mile at a time.
Oh my god.
Yes, Abigail. Yes. So it will sink anything it sees floating by jumping onto it nose first, which destroys boats and breaks the backs of large whales.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, yeah, you don't want to use this one's name because otherwise it will hone in on you. And so if you see one off in the distance, you have to distract it before it can smash your boat to pieces. And the best way to do that is by throwing a buoy or an empty barrel overboard.
Why?
It apparently exhausts itself trying to sink it.
Hmm.
And apparently even a hat thrown overboard can distract it.
Weird.
Another method is heading in the direction of the sun. Apparently, if it tries to see the boat, well, you know, it's flying, basically. Because, you know, flying whales. Apparently, the glare from the sun will interfere. And if all else fails, your really only hope is, apparently, a lot of firepower. Apparently, one was shot before it could leap, and it startled it, so it swam away. Okay, so next up, we have the shell whale. It's like an armadillo.
It is very armadillo-esque. Like, my first thought was turtle, but armadillo is even better.
It's an armadillo whale, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, for the most part, it likes to sit in the path of boats and have them run into it Titanic style. Unlike many other evil whales, it is edible and safe to eat.
Okay, then. If you can fucking get to his skin.
Yes. However, they have helped humans on occasion. There was one who helped people in a battle against a horse whale.
Hmm.
It ranges from 20 to 45 meters. It is quite fat. It has very small flippers and lacks dorsal fins. And apparently the parts of the shell, like, they rattle as it swims, which make it very itchy, apparently. So it likes to rub its head and body up against rocks.
Yeah.
And despite it, you know, being quite rotund, it is also a very fast swimmer and has the nickname Tiger Whale. It likes to dive vertically and also sleeps vertically with its head sticking out of the water.
That's a very strange behavior.
Which that never occurred to me before. But can whales actually do that?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know if whales can like go, like just in general, as they're swimming, go directly vertical.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. That never occurred to me before doing this. So, if, you know, just, like, parking itself in front of a boat doesn't work, they try to turn it, it will... The whale will then try to throw the ship and kill everyone on board. It likes to hit the boat with its fins and tails. Tails. Singular tail. Its armor makes it impervious to basically everything. And they also like to play dead.
Also like armadillos.
But, for whatever reason, they hate the sound of iron being ground and filed.
That's oddly specific.
And so if it hears that, it will basically panic. It'll go full-blown panic attack, and it'll beach itself to get away from it. So we are currently at 45 minutes, so I will have to cut my story there.
Okay.
So we will get the other half of this next week.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, it's time for everyone's favorite segment.
Spooky.
So, when people die, their sense of hearing is the last to go.
That sucks.
So you get to hear the screams of the damned.
Yeah.
While you're dying.
And in some cases, you get to hear someone say, okay, we're done, time of death.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Okay, well, Abigail, are you ready for your story? Your quite long story.
I am ready. I would like to start with a quote.
Oh, no.
From a CIA agent.
CIA agent?
CIA agent.
No, CIA agent's just a lot more fun to say.
Yeah, well, we're technical up in her.
Up in her. Why not him or they?
No, it's H-U-R-R. Like here.
I know that, Abigail. I was making a joke.
Oh, okay.
Abigail.
So, the quote is, anecdotes about MKUltra vary from horrifying. In one experiment, mentally handicapped children were fed cereal laced with uranium and radioactive calcium to merely amusing, such as the time when CIA operatives supposedly implanted a listening device in a cat, but forgot that cats do not listen to instruction. It walked away during a test in a park.
Wait, was this an actual thing? I think this was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Oh yeah, cats don't give a fuck. Like, a lot like honey badgers.
Yeah, my cat is actually very good at listening and will most of the time listen to instruction, but most cats, no.
My cat listens for the most part unless you tell him to stop screaming.
Yeah, then he'll just keep screaming.
He likes to scream.
Yeah.
He's always done that.
Yes. So, today, we have reached the biggest and most well-known portion of this series, MKUltra itself. Despite how much material is available to me, it is very important that you remember that what we have is a distraction. We will begin with that distraction when we talk about the experiments of MKUltra, but we won't go that into depth because that wasn't really the part that mattered. The CIA managed to pull off one of the biggest sleight of hand tricks in U.S. history, and it still remains well hidden. If I am not on a watch list by now, I definitely will be after writing, researching, and recording this episode. There is a ton of misinformation on MKUltra, especially in regards to Project Chatter, Bluebird, and Artichoke. This misinformation is so well spread that Wikipedia states that MKUltra, Artichoke, and Bluebird were all the same thing. I hope it has been clear in the last several episodes that this is incorrect. If you want information that I have vetted and determined to be accurate, check out our links in the sources page in the description. All of those sources are sources that I have deemed to be accurate and useful. So let's get into it. So let's talk about the beginning. After the failures of Chatter, Bluebird, and Artichoke to actually find something, and in response to the Red Scare, the CIA decided to widen their aims. So just a quick history lesson. In 1953, World War II had ended less than 10 years before, and the Korean War was winding to a close. The US government supposedly still feared the communists had the technology to control allies and enemy minds. In response, Alan Dulles, the director of the CIA, began Project MKUltra. There were many different projects that fell underneath MKUltra. 149, according to most sources. Obviously, we cannot cover every single one, or Wes would fire me from the podcast. Even if he wouldn't, a full list of all experiments isn't available literally anywhere. I have.
You would have to get your own podcast if you wanted to do that.
I have searched for one for hours and hours, and it just doesn't exist. And if it ever did exist, it was likely destroyed. Most of the experiments occurred at hospitals, prisons, and universities across the US and Canada. That's right. The Canadian government was just as active in MKUltra as the US government. Before we get into...
I thought Canada was better.
Nope. Before we get into those details, though, I wanted to provide some context. Once the US learned of the possible use of LSD in experiments done by the Soviets, Dulles made a long speech about the immorality of their experiments, and talked about how it was barbaric to try and manipulate the human mind in such a way, and da-da-da-da-da. And then 3 days later, he approved Project MKUltra.
The hypocrisy is real.
He would later defend himself, stating that he had felt urged by the fear that they couldn't counteract the enemy's resources, but honestly, it just becomes hypocrisy real fast. So many different things occurred under the MKUltra umbrella. We're going to start by discussing the experiments which would be later used to hide the others, LSD and hypnosis. So let's start with LSD. The LSD experiments were a continuation of the other earlier projects by the CIA. The experiments were done under the guidance of Sidney Gottlieb, who was an expert in poison and was a CIA chemist. Gottlieb was fascinated with LSD as a chemical. The goal of the projects were the same as the others before it, to find a way to manipulate the human mind through the usage of hallucinogenic drugs on unknowing subjects. Gottlieb would later go on to be the schemer behind the CIA's poisoning attempts on individuals such as Fidel Castro. One book about him identifies him as the poisoner in chief. So, at the beginning of MKUltra, he asked the CIA to pay $240,000 to bring LSD to the US. It had been invented in 1943, so 10 years prior. Once the US bought it, they distributed it to doctors' offices, hospitals, prisons, universities, labs, etc. Gottlieb asked them in exchange to perform tests on subjects to learn more about the drug. Some people would go to these places willingly to participate in the trials, and others had no clue that they were involved at all. LSD was a new drug, and one that was literally being given out for free if you were willing to try it. Others were, like the other experiments, used on unsuspecting victims who simply thought that they were going crazy. One of the best examples of how immoral these experiments got is the Lexington Rehabilitation Center.
Sounds sketch.
It also went...
It's in Kentucky,
yes.
Right? Sounds sketch.
Yes, it is. Kentucky. So it also went by another name called the Narcotics Farm, or Narco.
Interesting.
Narco was the first drug rehabilitation facility in the U.S. Its methods were interesting. Addicts would
be... Interesting or questionable?
Both. So addicts would be given sedatives while going through withdrawal so as to lessen the excruciating pain of physical withdrawal.
Makes sense.
Today, this is now known as medically assisted detox and is still used in many centers and hospitals and is absolutely vital to people surviving extreme withdrawal symptoms. Patients were asked to do minor physical labor, like milking cows, as well as attend psychotherapy, like you would at any inpatient psychiatric facility or drug rehab center. You might be saying, Abigail, this sounds fantastic. How exactly do you plan to ruin this by making it sound like it's the worst thing ever? So, the problem with the center was that it allowed druggies to glorify their addiction during therapy. Many addicts would come in to receive fantastic treatment, be discharged when they were deemed cured, and then relapse and come back in soon after. Since it was a government program, it became a place where addicts could take advantage of those trying to help them. When MKUltra came along, it took advantage of the reality of that program. Participants would agree to take part in the experiments, and at the end of it, they would be given as much of the drug they were addicted to as they wanted.
That does not sound like a good idea.
They would go to addicts at a drug treatment program and have them take part in a study on drugs, have them take drugs for an extensive period of time, and as a reward for doing that, would give them the harder drugs that got them to end up in the facility in the first place.
Does not sound like a good time.
So, like, heroin addicts were given free heroin by the U.S. government and by the program trying to cure them of their own addiction. It didn't matter that these people needed help. They were pawns to be used for experimentation. Lovely fact, once MKUltra secrets were beginning to be revealed in the 1970s, Narco was shut down and has remained shut down since.
That we know of.
It has remained shut down, and now most drug treatment programs are based off of science, unless it's based off religion, in which case, if you need help, go to one that's based off of science, please. It is proven that it will be better for you if you go to one that is based off of science, because if you relapse, you will just feel more guilty because you have betrayed God, and then that will lead you to continue to use. So please go to people who actually know what they do, what they're doing.
So what you're telling me is that essential oils cannot cure your drug addiction?
No. Don't go to essential oils, people. For the love of God. They can't fix you. Maybe that's a topic we'll cover one day.
Essential oils.
Oh God, I don't know if I have the patience to cover that. Okay. So now let's talk about the hypnosis experiments. The leader of the hypnosis experiments was a man named Morse Allen. Similar to Gottlieb, he was obsessed with the subject he experimented with. A book called The Search for the Manchurian Candidate, The CIA and Mind Control, details many of the experiments done by MKUltra. Allen used hypnosis to trance unwilling victims and try to get them to do things that they would never consider doing otherwise. I am going to read a quote from this book about an experiment he did during MKUltra. On February 19th, 1954, Morse Allen simulated the ultimate experiment in hypnosis, the creation of a Manchurian candidate, or a programmed assassin. Allen's victim was a secretary whom he put into a deep trance and told to keep sleeping until he ordered otherwise. He then hypnotized a second secretary and told her that she could not wake up her friend because her rage would be so great that she would not hesitate to kill. Allen left a pistol nearby, which the secretary had no way of knowing was unloaded. Even though she had earlier expressed a fear of firearms of any kind, she picked up the gun and shot her sleeping friend. After Alan brought the killer out of her trance, she had apparent amnesia for the event, denying that she would ever shoot anyone. Obviously, there is a certain degree of scrutiny that should be used when analyzing shit like this. Morse, Allen, and Gottlieb were highly motivated to be the hero who discovered the ultimate behavior control method. They would be the hero of the agency at minimum. More money would also go to their research topic if they did. To some degree, it is a similar dynamic to the grant system at universities. If this is a true story, it is fucking horrifying. Our minds have to believe that we are making decisions independently. We don't want to feel controlled. Even though most people have some awareness of the fact that none of our choices are completely done by free will, we are very willing to further that illusion that we have complete control. However, if he did make up this narrative, it shows a broken system using hypothetical torture and trauma to victims in order to further a specific narrative for credit and money. There is little of MKUltra that cannot be described by powerful people feeling the need to control the situations they found themselves in. War after war led people across the world to feel scared and powerless. There was nothing to stop the enemy from using tools the Allies didn't know about. Like all the actions we talked about in the Big Brother series, so many acts of horror are done in the name of fear, and the hypnosis experiments especially hammer that home. So another thing that MKUltra worked on was experiments in electroshock therapy. MKUltra went against every moral code the U.S. claimed and claims to have. Alan Dulles was quoted as saying, "We in the West are somewhat handicapped in getting all the details of how to break the human mind. There are few survivors, and we have no human guinea pigs to try these extraordinary techniques." The callousness of that quote alone should tell you how dramatically detached he was from the torture that he put people through. Electroshock therapy, now known today in the medical field as ECT, can be used to treat severe episodes of depression or schizophrenia. Today is a safe treatment with minimal side effects and can help patients with severe conditions live a very high-functioning life that they would not be able to live otherwise. Specific guidelines and protocols must be followed, though. ECT is something which is typically used when there are many other options for treatment, like psych medications, that have not worked over and over again. A person's medical history and current medical state have to be looked at really closely first. While there are a few conditions which immediately opt out a person from the possibility of ECT, someone who is pregnant or has a pacemaker may need to find other options before going with ECT. For every ECT treatment, a psychiatrist trained in the usage of the treatment, an anesthesiologist, and a nurse must be present for the entirety of the treatment. Even if an individual was a psychiatrist and a nurse practitioner, there still needs to be both in the room. Having three staff to cover these different roles is vital to mitigate any chance of risk. Patients must be hooked up to different monitoring devices like heart rate monitors and oxygen meters from beginning to end. A crash cart, which is a cart which includes an AED to restart the heart, different drugs to restart the heart, supplies for intubation if the airways become too clogged, etc., must be present in the room as well, even though it's unlikely that that will be necessary. Patients must be given. Good job, Abigail.
It's okay. We all do it.
I'm surprised Google Docs didn't catch that. Patients must be given full and informed consent to the treatment, and oftentimes multiple providers such as psychiatrists and primary care doctors must sign off on the treatment, including that they educated the patient of all risks before. So when going to an ECT treatment, the patient feels no pain. At the beginning of the procedure, the anesthesiologist delivers anesthesia, so the patient falls asleep and a muscle relaxant to make the muscles stop constricting is delivered. Once this is done, and more tests and prep work are done to make sure the patient will remain stable, an electric shock is delivered to the patient's brain. This will induce a seizure, which typically lasts no longer than 60 seconds. The patient is monitored closely during the seizure period, and medications are on standby to stop the seizure if it continues. Once the patient is stable, they are brought to a recovery room where they are closely monitored. They wake up fairly quickly after the treatment. Minor aches and pains are common, alongside short-term memory loss of things learned right before the treatment. Beyond that, there are very few side effects. Follow-up appointments and brain scans are done often to make sure that damage is not being done. Multiple treatments are done, typically 1 to 3 per week for 6 to 8 sessions. Only one treatment occurs per day max, and most treatments are spread out to minimize any side effects or issues. So now that I have gone over what this treatment looks like today, I am going to show you the shit show that the CIA did instead of following those guidelines. Even though these guidelines did not exist at the time, any doctor with an actual moral compass would have followed some sort of scientific method. So we will discuss the experiment's validity scientifically in the next episode as well. One patient was admitted for a depressive episode. She was a middle-aged woman who was having issues with her divorce. All of these things today would be an indication that she needs to receive counseling and maybe a low dose of an antidepressant. With no other history of mental illness in her life, this is not a patient who needs to be hospitalized or receive intensive treatment in the nature that she received. She was brought into a program where 20 hours a day, she would be sedated heavily. Like, she would be sedated so much that she could only sleep. The other 4 hours were the time periods where she would receive 3 to 4 ECT treatments. This would be beyond dangerous on its own, but with sedation, she would suffer significant declines in her physical and mental health. Laying in a bed for the majority of the day without readjustment can lead to muscle atrophy, major organ atrophy, pressure ulcers, etc. Doing this for an extended period of time to anyone means that after the treatment, they would require extensive physical, occupational, and psychotherapy to recover. Once she was done, she had to relearn how to walk and do basic tasks again. Things like cooking, which she had done thousands of times before for her family, was something that she no longer remembered how to do. Muscle memory could also no longer help her, and with much of her short and long-term memory also destroyed, the tasks were nearly impossible. Lauren fought back, though, and she worked like hell to regain her functional abilities. With constant work, she made a complete recovery. She was able to take care of her home, children, and herself once again. She would continue on to live a successful life. But she should never have been receiving that treatment to begin with. She likely would have been completely fine if she just went to see a therapist once a week. Maybe a small amount of medication if necessary. But she was nowhere near severe enough to warrant ECT. The other subjects of these experiments suffered similar fates. Massive levels of deconditioning when many of them didn't need that level of treatment. In a few of the severely mentally ill patients, there was some improvement when not combined with the extensive sedation. And that is why it is still considered a useful treatment today.
Always go to therapy. Therapy is great.
Yes, but the many victims it took to come to that conclusion had to suffer endlessly for that conclusion. There are many other methods to test whether a treatment is effective. These methods do not include extensive torture. All right. Next one is tape recordings.
Okay.
Does our audience even know what tape recordings is?
That's a good question. I think our average, it's like 40 to 45.
Then yes. If you're under the age of 18, I'm worried about
you. If you're under the age of, like, 25, quite frankly.
I'm worried about you for listening to this podcast. So, a psychiatrist named Dr. Donald Ewan Cameron. I'm glad that his middle name has "ew" in it, because if it didn't,
ew,
I would be adding it. Was the main leader of experiments like these, and the experiments on ECT as well. Great. He was highly esteemed and served on many boards focused on psychology and psychiatry. Even with all of these rewards and honors, which came from those credentials, his legacy would be forever tarnished by his work on patients who were not given the opportunity or knowledge to consent. This specific set of experiments definitely did not fall into what moral experimentation on humans looks like. So patients would go through therapy sessions with Cameron, where he would work to learn things that would act as triggers for them. These things would be like significant points of trauma in an individual's life. Things like physical, emotional, financial, or sexual abuse and assault. Memories that would be extremely painful for them. Cameron would then record his voice, saying about a paragraph of information, repeating what those traumas were, and often blaming the victim for them in the process.
Okay, fuck this guy.
For example, I will read you lines from one of these recordings for a specific patient.
Oh, fuck this guy.
Madeline, you let your mother and father treat you as a child all through your single life. You let your mother check you up sexually after every date you had with a boy. You hadn't enough determination to tell her to stop it. You never stood up for yourself against your mother or father, but would run away from trouble. They used to call you Crying Madeline. Now that you have two children, you don't seem to be able to manage them and keep a good relationship with your husband. You are drifting apart. You don't go out together. You have not been able to keep him interested sexually.
What a hoe.
Yeah, it makes me angry. Because...
Please tell me this dude is dead.
Yes.
Thank God.
And honestly, he's one of the people that I hope there's a hell for. So once this recording was made, patients would be restrained physically and chemically. They would be conscious but unable to move or even speak. The recordings would then be played over and over for 16 hours per day.
Oh, gosh.
Sometimes most of the day, for every day in a month. In some instances, Cameron would have electric shocks delivered to their feet at the end of every recording.
Why? As, like, an extra fuck you?
Pretty much.
You sound extremely defeated.
If you are someone who has experienced a traumatic event in your life, just, like, think about that. Imagine having this jackass dude record a paragraph where he summarizes a sentence, like, summarizes that traumatic event in your life, and then blames you for that traumatic event. And then chemically and physically restrains you for a month, for 16 hours every day, where you have to listen to that over and over and over again. Like, it's just re-traumatizing you over and over again. Like, I would go insane. I couldn't do it.
Well, this episode's real fucking bleak. Just call upon the whales, Abigail.
Oh, God. This guy makes me so mad. So, around a month after the beginning of the experiment, Cameron would record another set of audio to play.
Oh, fuck him.
This one would attempt to uplift the patient. For example, I will read you the lines of the second recording done for the same patient as before. You mean to get well. To do this, you must let your feelings come out. It is all right to express your anger. You want to stop your mom bossing you around. Begin to assert yourself first in little things, and soon you will be able to meet her on an equal basis. You will then be free to be a wife and mother, just like other women. So this may sound somewhat helpful to the patient, but
it's
not
like a half-assed attempt.
It is still written with undertones of victim blaming. Think about the line, you will then be free to be a wife and mother just like the other women. It sounds like she is saying she is currently a failure at both of those things, and that any other woman wouldn't have trouble with what she's struggling with. Cameron, as a psychiatrist, would be very aware that most women feel a strong sense of guilt and lack of self-esteem in regards to playing their role as a mother and wife. We are told growing up that we must do these things well, and so most of us look at every minor mistake or choice as a complete failure. Despite having likely treated many women with the same concern, he did not normalize that to the patient. He did not tell her that they are more than likely doing an average or above average job at raising a family or being a good wife, or bother to tell her that many women have the same concerns or fears or issues. He instead told her that she was currently failing and not working hard enough, and that everyone else is succeeding, and that she's just failing because she sucks. It's fucking evil. And he knew that too. He knew he was causing them harm. He didn't have the balls to even tell them his opinion when they had a way to respond or counter his belief. Why do you think he chemically and physically restrained him when they listened to the recording? They had absolutely no way to respond. They couldn't say anything, they couldn't do anything. The only way Cameron could tell the patients his opinions about them was when they couldn't respond. He waited until he didn't have to face them or see their reaction to give them his opinion. Cameron was honestly nothing more than a fucking coward.
You sound like you're about to, if this guy wasn't dead, you were going to murder him.
I would think about it. Okay, let's talk about their experiments with the polygraph. So the CIA...
I think we should take 5 so you can breathe. Insert more humming here. But yeah, just take a second and breathe. You sound quite upset.
I'm just losing my voice.
And we're back after Abigail had a chance to breathe.
Yeah, my voice is fighting me. I'll try to finish it up, though. So let's talk about their experiments on the polygraph. So the CIA used MKUltra as a way to find a truth serum. They also put much effort into bettering polygraph techniques to determine absolutely who was lying versus telling the truth. The polygraph has an illustrious history that is way out of scope for this episode. Today's polygraph measures someone's blood pressure, breathing, and sweat on their palms. It doesn't inherently measure whether someone is lying, because there's no way to positively do that. It measures things which may change while stressed. If someone is stressed, they may have an increase in blood pressure, breathe faster, and have an increase in sweat production. This is not a good way to measure truth over lies, though. Many may not have these symptoms of stress while lying, quite simply because of the way their body works. Others may be very good at suppressing these signs of stress. People with antisocial personality disorder, lawyers, career criminals, other undercover agents, etc., can all have an innate or trained ability to avoid causing any increase in signs of stress. So, the polygraph is no sure way to guarantee someone is telling the truth. That is why it is not considered evidence in current court cases.
Fun fact.
Yes.
You hear of being polygraphed. Clench your butt while being asked the control questions.
Yes. So
that was just a fun fact.
Polygraphs would be used in MK Ultra experiments to find which tactics worked better. In the LSD experiments, LSD was given to subjects, and then some of them were interrogated under a polygraph. Obviously, LSD would be more likely to make someone's body become on high alert, because it acts as a stimulant. Things like blood pressure, breathing, and sweat would all be increased by the drug. So even when a subject wasn't lying, the polygraph may have made it seem like it. This would, of course, lead to more and more interrogation and more torture. All right, let's talk about one of the ones that makes me most angry.
And we're going to need to take another pause.
That is their experiments on radiation.
They're going to say on children.
Oh, it is.
Oh, okay.
So, the radiation experiments are probably the most well-hidden portion of MKUltra. There are many documents denying that MKUltra took part in the U.S. government's experiments on radiation. Very few mentions in documents regarding MKUltra mention anything related to radiation. Those few mentions, hidden deep within lies piled into lies, point to the government lying about these experiments. The experiments done by the U.S. government, involving injecting subjects with radioactive material, such as plutonium, did happen, and they did happen under MKUltra. So radiation is toxic to the body. I know. Surprise. In small doses, like from x-rays or microwaves, the effects are negligible to the point of basically being zero. In the instance of plutonium injection, the results can be cancer or death. You get one of the two. Radiation warps cells in the human body, especially the DNA of those cells. Often this means that the cells are unable to reproduce. If all the cells in your arm, for instance, cannot reproduce, your arm just dies because there's no cells to make more cells, so your arm just doesn't exist. But with radiation injected, the effects are throughout the entire body. Radiation can also warp cells to be able to reproduce, but be faulty. This would cause cancer. In the case of the victims of these experiments, most of them became terminally ill with cancer. Many of them died. I really can't go into more specifics than that because we don't have more details. All we know is that there was an experiment done on children regarding radiation. And it's horrific. Files were very clearly destroyed or just not kept on these experiments in particular. Alright, and we have finally reached the final experiment type we are going to discuss today. Experiments with toxins or diseases. So there were a large number of experiments conducted on individual subjects, similar to in Project Artichoke. We aren't going to go into specifics on those because they are very similar. People were injected with deadly diseases and often died. For this episode, we're going to talk about the instances where large amounts of times the CIA dumped large amounts of diseases on populated cities.
Exciting. I think I might have heard of this in general, but not like specific instances.
So let's go through a timeline of these.
Oh, yay.
So 1955. The CIA released a bacteria withdrawn from the Army's biological warfare arsenal over Tampa Bay, Florida. Population of Tampa Bay at the time was 437,000.
Okay.
There is no record of who died. Because they didn't bother to keep a record. because they didn't care.
And people wonder why I want to move out of this country.
Yeah. Yeah. 1956. U.S. military, who during about halfway through MKUltra's beginning, started working with the U.S. Army, which we're going to cover more of that in the next episode. So, in conjunction with MKUltra, the U.S. military released mosquitoes infected with yellow fever over Savannah, Georgia, and Avon Park, Florida. The population of Savannah, Georgia at the time was around 149,000 people, and the population around Avon Park, Florida was around 5,000 people. Yellow fever is very dangerous and deadly even today with modern science. 1965. Prisoners in the Holmesburg State Prison in Philadelphia were injected with dioxin, the highly toxic chemical in Agent Orange, which was used in the Vietnam War. They were being tested for cancer afterwards. Dioxin is now known to cause cancer, diabetes, birth defects, and other major health issues. Since they tested the prisoners for cancer afterwards, it is pretty clear they already figured that dioxin caused cancer and wanted to verify it, and were okay with all of these prisoners dying of cancer. Many died of cancer afterwards, and the CIA would not allow any of these prisoners to receive medical treatment. 1966. The U.S. Army dumps Bacillus subtilis variant Niger through the New York City subway system by dropping light bulbs filled with it on ventilation grates, which relieve hot air from the subways. More than 1 million citizens were exposed. This bacteria may sound scary. The reality of it is that it is fairly benign. It is commonly used to create other enzymes and chemicals. In 1997, the EPA did a study to make sure that the chemical was safe. But in 1966, the Army had actually no clue what it did. And were cool with just dumping it on 1 million citizens. These are
sounds about right.
A small handful of the experiments done. There are many more. And many more that I can't find and none of us will ever know about. Large numbers of average citizens were exposed to diseases which the CIA and Army had no clue how to treat and would not help treat. They were fine with any side effects or symptoms these experiments caused on the people involved. They were fine with infecting people with diseases and toxins they had absolutely no cure for yet. So I think this is the place where we're going to stop for today, because it's been a long-ass episode. Next week, we're going to go over more of the MKUltra puzzle, specifically how MKUltra relates to how scientific it was, an in-depth look into some of the specific victims, and then what the internal investigations looked like that eventually brought all of this to light.
And we're also going to finish up with the evil whales.
Yes, because I don't even understand the evil whales. They're very...
Oh, it gets worse. It gets weirder.
I don't understand the evil whales.
It gets weirder than the mouse whale.
If you would like to see a picture of the mouse whale, check out our social medias.
At Pen and Purgatory on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
If you would like to send us an email to tell us how fucked up our episodes recently have been, or to send us a scary story to maybe one day be in an episode, you can send that to
penanceandpurgatory@gmail.com.
Rate our podcast on Apple Podcasts and Facebook if you're a boomer.
Okay, you didn't say Spotify this time.
I almost did.
I know you almost did. But I believe that's all we have for you.
Yeah, it is. We're back.
We're back, bitches.
We're back. We're back to make you sad.
We're back to make you sad.
Hopefully you find it interesting, even though it is horrifying. Because that is on brand.
That is our brand.
Yes.
Interesting yet horrifying. Put that on a thong.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that should probably be our actual tagline for this podcast.
All right. But until next time, stay safe.
Stay safe.
Bye.